If ever there was a man that you and I would probably call a hero, we would say it'd be Samson. He had everything going for him. He had great looks. He had strength. He had a special birth. His birth was foretold and read for us here by Jim. He was a man who definitely had a lot of potential, had a lot of things that were going for him. When I was pastoring at Bridgeville, on the Sunday that I had announced that I was leaving, that Kim and I were leaving over there, and that's been now almost 19 years, a lady came out of the church that Sunday, and she said to me, she said, "Well, you have a lot of potential. You're just not there yet." That was people in Bridgeville. But Samson had a lot of potential, but he wasted it. We're going to see a man who wasted what God had given him and what he could have used in a powerful way for the kingdom. But he squandered and wasted the blessings that God had given. If ever there was a man who was a hero, it was him. But I've entitled this series, Zeros and Heroes. Today we're going to look at a man who started out as a hero and became a zero. What happened and led to was downfall as we look at his story this morning. Jim read for us the events of his birth. His mother, his father's name was Manoah. His mother's name was not recorded. I like to call her Mrs. Manoah. But Mrs. Manoah was unable to have children. And one day, the Lord himself appeared to her. And how do we know it was the Lord himself? It was Jesus in a pre-incarnate form. Appeared to her and said that she would give birth to a child. And he wasn't going to be an ordinary child. He was going to be special from birth, set apart to do a special work from the Lord. How do we know it was the Lord? Because he spoke to her. Later on, he came back and appeared a second time when Manoah was with him, with her. And he said, she said, "Are you," Manoah said, "are you the person who appeared to my wife?" And his answer was, "I am." What does that tell you? He said, "I am." And then Manoah went on to say, "Well, then what is your name?" And the Lord said to him, "Why ask me my name? My name is beyond comprehension." So little indications that tell us that Manoah was in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord himself appeared to his wife, said that she would conceive and give birth to a son. And then when he was born, he was going to be a Nazirite from birth. That word Nazirite means a special person in relationship with God, a special vow. Jesus was a Nazarene, meaning that he came from the city of Nazareth. But there is a difference between a Nazarene and a Nazirite. A Nazarene meant that he was from the city of Nazareth, but a Nazirite meant that he had a vow that set them apart to God for a special purpose. The Nazirite vow had three particular parts which we're going to see was important, because we're going to see as we talk about Samson's life, it all came back to this vow. A Nazirite could not drink wine or anything that comes from the vine, even grape juice. A Nazirite could not touch anything that was dead or unclean, or a dead body or anything unclean. And a Nazirite could never have his hair cut. His hair could never be cut or shaved. And those three parts were part of the vow that a Nazirite had to do. And from his birth on, that he was going to be set apart from the Lord for that particular purpose. And God said to Manoah and his wife, he said, "Your son is going to begin to bring about the deliverance of Israel from the Philistines." Because we were told, as Jim read this, again the Israelites fell into another cycle of sin. After the previous judge had passed away, after Jephthah had passed away, they now fell into sin again, which was a repeated pattern. This time the Philistines had conquered them. And God was raising up Samson to begin the deliverance, not completed, to begin it. The deliverance of Israel from the Philistines was not going to be finally accomplished until King David, which was going to be many hundred years later. With that little bit of introduction of Samson's birth, we're going to see that Samson was what I call a weak, strong man. He because God was going to give him extraordinary strength. And we've all heard stories of Samson. We've all seen pictures. There's been movies made about him. Sight and Sound did a play about him. And we all know the feats of Samson's great strength. He was a man known for that. He had great physical strength given to him by the Lord, but Samson was weak spiritually. And he was weak of conviction. And he was weak with inner strength. And it was his lack of inner strength and conviction that was going to lead to his downfall. And he was a strong man, but he was weak at the same time. And his inner weakness was going to lead to betrayal, blindness, his loss of his strength, captivity, and eventually forced servitude. A man who had everything going for him from his birth, ending up at the end of his life in a forced servitude, being blinded. Today, as we look at Samson's life, we're going to discover five things that he lacked that led to his downfall and what made him a weak, strong man. And we can learn from him because as we look to his life, we can see these traits and pray that they're not true in us. Why Samson was so weak as a man, strong man, was that he had a lack of connection. The first thing we see, he lacked connection in his life. He was a lone ranger. He had a lone ranger attitude and mindset, that he thought that he could do it alone and didn't need anybody else. In chapter 15, verses 9 to 15, we read an account here where Samson's own brothers of the tribe of Judah bound him and handed him over to the Philistines because he didn't even have the support of his own people. He had this go-it-alone mentality. He was the only judge, if you read through the book of Judges, he was the only judge who did not seek out the help of anybody else or call anybody else to come to help him and assist him in bringing deliverance to the nation. He thought, I'm Samson, I'm a macho man, I can do it by myself. I don't need anybody or anything. And it resulted in his own Jewish brethren binding him and handing him over because he didn't have support. He didn't have a connection with those around him. He thought he could go alone. Sometimes we can fall into that mentality that we think we don't need anybody either in our Christian life to help us, that we're strong enough to do it alone, that we're strong enough that we don't need anybody by our side, that we're strong enough that we can do it ourselves. And when we have that kind of mentality, that can lead to disaster in our lives spiritually. And that's one of the things that's going to lead to his downfall, because what we learn from him is that strong people, those who are strong, will seek the support of others. His weakness, his inner weakness, made him feel that he didn't need anybody's support. He was Samson. He could do it. He could bring the deliverance. He would do it himself. He didn't need anybody helping him. But strength, spiritual strength, says, you know, I can't go it alone. We're a family. We need one another. We need that support of somebody coming along and saying, I need your prayers. And being willing to come and say, you know, will you pray for me? Will you help me in this? I need your support. I care. I pray for that. We need that, right? And that's part of what the church is about, that connectionness together. But Samson didn't have that. He didn't desire that. And it was going to lead, one of the things that led to his downfall. It wasn't all of them, but one of them was that lack of connection. We are a family. We need each other, and we need to support one another. Strong people realize that. This morning, as we go through this message, we'll discover, are we weak or are we strong spiritually? And one way we can tell we're strong if we seek out the support of others to encourage and pray for us and to help us on our journey. He was also a weak, strong man, secondly, because he had a lack of control. He was self-indulgent. He could not control himself. And look at this picture here. The lady loved ice cream, and she definitely has a lack of control there. And she gave Samson lived for the moment, and he did not think about the consequences of where his actions was going to lead him. Turn with me to chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. We're going to look at a couple instances in his life. But in verses 1 through 3, it says, Samson went down to Timnah, and there he saw a young Philistine woman, not a woman from Israel, but a woman from Philistine, an unbeliever, someone who didn't trust God, someone who was not of his people. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now listen to this. Now get her for me as my wife. And his mother and father replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. Didn't matter whether she was a believer or not. Get her for me. I see her. I desire her. I want her. I need to have her. Get her for me. And he gave in to his indulgences. He lived for the moment. He didn't think of the consequence. He lived for the pleasure without a disregard to what God had taught in his word. God had said to his people, he was a judge. He was set apart to the Lord. He was to live in that special relationship with him. And the Israelites were not to intermarry unbelievers. They were not to intermarry those who were not of their people. But he said, I see her. Get her from me. I want her. How many times have you heard of a child coming to his parents and saying, you know, I want this person, and I'm going to marry them. I don't care what you say. You know, and the parents try to give him advice and say, you know, I don't think that's really the right person for you. Or I really don't think that's really the Lord's best for you. And they say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it anyway. Have you ever heard that? And that's Samson's attitude. Despite the objections of his parents saying, you know, I don't really think this is not God's will. He said, I don't care. Because he gave in to what his indulgences were, what he wanted. And he was going to live to fulfill himself and his pleasures. He didn't care. He didn't care what God even thought. He had a lack of self-control and he had a lack of discipline. He indulged himself with whatever he wanted and whatever he desired. And Samson's main problem that he had was women. You'll read that within three chapters, chapter 14 through 16, within three chapters, he has three different women. He just wasn't content. And he indulged himself and fulfilled whatever pleasure he desired. But in that word, get her for me, she's the right one, we see how he lived his life. He didn't take time to think about what the consequences of his actions and desires would be. He had a desire, and he's going for it, and he's going to fulfill it regardless. And he did not care what God thought, what his parents thought, or what was best for him. Whenever we make a choice, when we indulge ourselves, our desires and pleasures, without thinking of what the consequences could be down the road, we can get ourselves in a mess, can't we? It's happened many times when we've seen the stories of broken lives, of people that have broken their lives because they indulged themselves in something, and then afterwards, they really, the consequences and where it led to, and it led to a disaster in their life. But we see he had a lack of control. And with his wife, he said, get her for me. And then you go on to chapter 15 and turn to chapter 16. Two chapters over. One day, Samson then went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. And he went in to spend the night with her. And then you go on a couple more verses and we see in verse 4, sometimes later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the ruler of the Philistines went to her again, another Philistine woman. I don't know what it was about Samson with these Philistine women, but that's what he seemed to desire. But his desire and heart was not where God wanted it to be. And his relationship with Delilah was going to prove to be deadly for him. But he was self-indulgent. And what do we learn from him? We learn that strong people will discipline their indulgences. If we're strong in the Lord, we will discipline those desires in our life that we know are contrary to God's word, that are contrary to God's will. Jesus said if we want to be his disciple, we need to deny ourselves and take up his cross and follow him. Paul said everything as a believer may be lawful, but he said it may not be beneficial for us. And learning in our life as we grow in Christ that there are certain things that we may have to deny ourselves of in order to live the way the Lord pleases, the way that honors him, to live in a way that is honoring to Christ. That lack of control, the fruit of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is controlling our life, one of the fruit he produces is self-control, the ability to discipline our actions, the ability to control ourselves that we don't indulge ourselves or desire and fulfill something that is not what God would want for us, that we can live out our best for him. So strong people, those who are strong in the Lord, will discipline those indulgences that I know are not pleasing to Christ. Third reason why Samson was a weak, strong man was he also had a lack of restraint. He was quick-tempered. He had an anger that got red hot. And he easily got ticked off, and he would fly off the handle quickly, and he would act before he would think. Again, we can fall into that. But he easily got ticked off, and in his anger, he sought personal revenge, which was going to lead to his downfall. Chapter 14 tells us the story, verses 11 through 15, of what happened in the account of his wife. His parents gave in to his desires, and even contrary, even though they said this is not God's will, you should not be marrying an unbeliever, you should not be marrying someone who does not trust God of his people, but they gave in to his pressure and they said okay. So a marriage was planned with his wife, and they gathered together in Philistine territory. Chapter 14 tells us about it, beginning in verses 11 on. And they had a wedding party, a wedding celebration. This wedding celebration in that culture would last many days, not just one. And so they had a many-day banquet. And out of the course of the banquet, Samson offers a riddle. In verse 14. And he says in this riddle, out of the eater, something to eat. And out of the strong, something sweet. And he gave them this riddle. And he says, I will make a bet with you guys. And his cockiness and his arrogance, he said, I will make you guys a bet. And he said, if you can solve my riddle, he said, I will give you 30 changes of clothes. But if you can't solve your riddle, you have to pay me 30 changes of clothes. And so the banquet went on, and the guys, the Philistine men, were trying to figure out the answer to this riddle. And they couldn't figure it out. And so they go to Samson's wife. And they pressure her. And they threaten her. And they say, you got to go to your husband. And you got to find out from him what the answer to that riddle was. Because he's embarrassing us. And we're not going to pay that 30. We're not going to pay out that money to him. And he's making a monkey out of us. So you go and you find out. So Samson's new wife goes to him and begins to nag him already. The honeymoon's already ended. And she begins to nag him already. She goes, Oh, Samson, please, honey, tell me. What's the answer to the riddle? And Samson refused to tell her. And she kept nagging him. So finally she started crying. And she turns on the tears. And she's crying. What a wedding celebration this is. We have his wife crying. We have these men who are hounding her, Samson's wife hounding him. Finally, Samson had all he could take, so he tells his answer to the riddle to his wife. What's his wife do? She goes right to the men. She tells them the answer. And so on the last day of the feast, Samson thought he had won, and he grinned. He says, I got you guys beat. And they come and they said, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And Samson knew it. He said, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, here's a guy who had a way with women. He calls his wife a heifer. He said, if you haven't plowed with my heifer, you would never have gotten the answer. And in anger, he flies out of the wedding banquet. He goes out. He kills 30 Philistines, had nothing to do with it. He just kills them, takes their clothes to pay his debt. Then he flees in anger, and he leaves. The father-in-law, thinking that he ran out on his wife and didn't want anything to do with her, gives his wife to the best man. So he comes back after he cools down in the mood for love, if you know what I mean. And he goes to his father-in-law and said, I'm ready to see my wife now. And he says, oh, no, you don't. I gave her to another man. I gave her to the best man. I didn't think you wanted her. I gave her to him. He said, here, take my other daughter. She's better looking anyway. How do you think she must have felt? She's probably thinking, my chopped liver. So anyway, and hearing that news, what's Samson do? In anger again, he flies out. He catches 30 foxes. He sees 300 foxes that he seizes, ties their tails together, lights their tails on fire, and puts them into the fields of the Philistines at harvest time. The harvest wasn't gathered. They were just ready to. And he turns, tying their tails together and lighting them on fire. What were these foxes going to do? And they start tearing through the fields, lighting all the fields on fire, and it caught the houses as well on fire. And when they found out who did this, the Philistines said, who did this? And they said, Samson. So in retaliation, the Philistines killed Samson's wife and her father. They burned them to death. Samson, in hearing that news, in retaliation, goes out in a fit rage and slaughters a lot of Philistines. And then he says here, the key that we learn from in verse 11. Notice what he says. When he was questioned about it, he said, what have you done? He answered, I merely did to them what they did to me. Now there's a good principle to live by, right? I merely did to them what they did to me. And we see that in his principle, he had a lack of restraint. He was quick-tempered. He didn't know how to control his anger. He didn't know how to control his temper. And he used the gift that God had given him for his own personal, and we'll come back to that. But he had a lack of restraint. He flew off the handle. He was quick-tempered, and he was angry. Last week, we had seen through Jephthah that words spoken in anger can often lead to suffering. We had seen how that happened with Jephthah. Here we see that anger can escalate and continue to get out of control. That when we retaliate, when someone does something to us and we go back in kind and we do it worse, it continues to getting worse and worse and worse and worse. We're told in Romans chapter 12, don't repay evil for evil. Don't seek revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. Let God deal with those people. But don't take that into our own hands. Samson was a man who had great physical strength, but he sure had a lack of restraint. And what do we learn from him? Well, we learn that strong people will restrain their actions. Strong people will learn how not to retaliate and fight back. Look at Jesus on the cross and look at a different example of a man who was spit upon, who was beaten, who was cursed, and all that he went through. And he hung on the cross and took it willingly for you and me. He could have had the power to, as the scripture said, he could have had the power to call down, Jesus said, myriads of angels to come and said, and release him. And he could have said, God, Father, do something about that. But he didn't. He took it. And he had his power under control. And that's what meekness is. And Jesus taught us that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. When we have the ability to fight back, when we have the ability to retaliate, but we choose not to, we let God deal with that person instead. Instead of repaying in kind, we show love and kindness. And boy, that's hard, isn't it? But that takes the power of the Holy Spirit. That takes His Spirit working through us to bring it about. So strong people, physical, spiritual strength, will learn to restrain their actions. When someone says an unkind word to you, you don't retaliate. You don't say something unkind. When someone treats you nasty, you don't return it in kind. But you show grace. And that is hard. That is difficult. But that's where God's Spirit enables us. Fourth thing that made him such a weak, strong man was that he had a lack of humility. He was arrogant. He was puffed up on himself. He trusted in what he had and the strength and the special powers and his great looks and all the abilities that he had and all that he had been given. And he relied on and trusted in his own strength. Look at verse 15, chapter 15, verses 16 through 19. In that response, in that anger, when he said, "I merely did to them what he wanted," they then bound him, and he was handed over to the Philistines, and he grabbed a jawbone of a donkey, and with it he struck down 1,000 men. But then he said, "With a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men." What do you see there? You see that Samson had eye trouble. He said, "I did this. I, with a donkey's jawbone, I killed 1,000 men. I struck them down with my great strength that I have. Not giving credit to God, but I did it. Look what I did. Look at great Samson. And look at the power that I have." And he trusted in himself and in his own strength. He got cocky. And his cockiness was going to lead to his downfall, as we'll see in the next characteristic of what he displayed. It was that cockiness, thinking, I'm nothing, I'm strong, I don't need anybody, nothing's going to happen to me. And he used his gift for his own selfish purposes instead of God's glory. When he went out and slayed all those Philistines, they died needlessly because it was on Samson's anger. And it was to repay a bet that he made. It wasn't because God had commanded him to do that. It was for his own selfish purpose that he did it. And he used the gift that God had given him for his own reason. And when we use the gifts that God's given us to endow for our own selfish purposes instead of his glory, that's an act of pride. And whenever we take credit for what God is doing in us and through us, again, that's an act of pride. And when we realize it's not us, it's Him. And it's Him that works through us and Him that provided and enables us to do what we have and to do what we're able to do. And he made demands on God. Look at verse 18 and 19 of chapter 15. It says, "Because he was very thirsty, then he cried out to the Lord, 'You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?'" He said, basically, "Lord, am I going to die of thirst? You're going to let me die of thirst here? You're going to give me a drink or do something for me?" It was the way he approached the Lord was not even respect. It was like, "Lord, do this for me." And he made demands of God in his own personal relations with him. And it was his pride and humility. And so what we learn from him is that strong people will recognize God's power in their life. If you have spiritual strength and strong character, moral character, you will recognize that it's God's power, not our own. It's God's ability, not ours. Those who are weak take the credit for themselves or don't acknowledge that it's all the work of God. And the fourth and the last characteristic we see that made him a strong, weak man was that he had a lack of commitment. He was careless. And that carelessness and his lack of commitment was going to lead to his ultimate downfall and fall. Because he didn't take sin seriously. Back in chapter 14, verses 5 through 10, we read of an incident that happened and we say, "Oh, so what's the significance? What does it really matter?" And perhaps that's what Samson thought. But as they were on their way in chapter 14, picking up in verse 5, as they were on their way to Timnah for this marriage with his wife, as they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he may have torn a young goat. But he neither told his mother or his father what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman and liked her. So as they were on their way, a lion approached. He killed the lion and he left it laying there. Didn't say a word to his parents. Say, what's the difference? What's the significance? Well, let's come back. The story continues. Verse 8. Sometimes later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside intentionally. He intentionally turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. Again, in his pride. See what I did, Samson. But in it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. And when he rejoined his parents, he gave some, and they also ate it. But he did not tell them where he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Why did he not tell them? What was significant? Because that was a breaking of his vow. It was a touching of something unclean and dead, which he knew he was not to do. But he did it anyway. And not only did he do that, he took it and ate it and gave it to his parents and encouraged them to break that vow as well. He was careless. He thought, it's a small thing. It's not going to matter. No one's going to find out. He didn't tell anybody about it. He said, no one's going to know. No one's going to see. And when we get those things in our life and we say, oh, it doesn't matter. If I'm not obedient in this one area, God's not going to, no one's going to know. No one's going to ever find out. And spiritual carelessness, not taking sin seriously, can lead to disastrous consequences. He thought that he could play with fire and not get burned. We get to chapter 16. We find the main event. And in chapter 16, his encounter with Delilah. We've all heard the story. It's been legendary. Movies have been made about it. Verses 16 to 21 tells us about that. How he had that desire for Delilah, and the Philistines found out about it, and they came to her, the five Philistine rulers of the five cities, and each one offered her 1,100 shekels apiece, which is 5,500 shekels total, if she could find out from him where his great strength was lying in, so they could capture him. So Delilah begins to seduce him, and she takes the money, and she begins to seduce him. Him not being aware, him being spiritually careless, him thinking he was strong in himself, thinking that I'm Samson, nobody can conquer me. And in his pride, in his spiritual carelessness, and she begins to nag him. And she begins to seduce him. And at first time, she said, Samson, tell me the power, where your strength comes from. And so he said, well, if you bind me with 7 fresh thongs, I'll be as weak as any other man. And so she binds him with 7 thongs, and she calls the Philistines who are hiding in the room and said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He jumps up and tears the thongs apart. And she says, you told me you loved me. You told me you loved me and you lied to me. And she starts pulling on the charm. And so the second time, she said, Samson, if you really love me, if you really care, then tell me, where's your strength come from? Don't keep any secrets from me, Samson. You really say you love me? So he said, okay. If you tie me with new ropes, I'll be as weak as any other man. So she ties him with new ropes. So Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He breaks the new ropes. And she says, you lied to me. You deceived me. You really care. You don't care for me. So the third time, he said, notice how he's getting closer. Third time he said to you, if you take 7 braids of my hair, notice how he's getting closer, he's letting his guard down. If you let 7 braids of my hair and put them into a weave and weave them there, I'll be as weak as any other man. So he goes to sleep, she puts him to sleep on her lap, she weaves 7 locks of hair into the weave, and she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He wakes up, he tears apart. Now, if you had been Samson, 3 times, you give her the answer to how supposedly your strength is gone, and she does it every single time. You think you begin to wonder, you can't trust this woman? But his carelessness, not taking sin seriously, thinking, I can't get hurt, nothing's going to happen to me. He went as far as he could, playing with fire, I'm not going to get burned, nothing's going to happen to me. And how often do people end up getting burned in their life and destroyed spiritually because they go one sin too far? Think no one's going to, they get spiritually careless. Scripture says in Proverbs, can a man take fire into his lap and not get burned? Eventually, the consequences are going to catch up to us. So then, in verse 15, beginning at verse 15, look with me in chapter 16. Get what's going on here. So then she said to him, pouring on the charm, how can you say I love you when you don't confide in me? This is now the third time that you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. Then it says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. That says a lot right there. And then, so then he told her everything. And he said, no razor has ever been used in my head, he said. And because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth, if my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. Now, people think it was because his hair was shaved and his power was in his hair that he got his strength was gone. No, that wasn't it. It was because he broke his vow. He had already broken the first part by touching the lion. That was already one part that he broke. He already broke the part of the alcohol at his wedding feast when he drank there. And now he got the third part with his hair. And it was the breaking of his vow, commitment of his commitment before the Lord, that why the Lord left him and why his strength was gone. But then she shaved his head. She said, the Philistines are upon you. And it says, and this is the sad part, verse 20, he awoke from his sleep and he thought, I'll go out as I have before and I'll shake myself free. That's his arrogance. That's his pride, trusting in himself. But then it says, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. Sad statement. He didn't know that God had left him. God wasn't pleased because he was careless in his life spiritually, and it led to his capture. They captured him. They gorged out his eyes. They blinded him, and they put him to a mill, and he spent the rest of his days grinding at a mill in blindness and captivity. A man who had all the potential, but yet wasted it because he is strong, but he lacked the inner strength. From this we learn that strong people follow God faithfully. Samson did not. He was not a faithful follower of the Lord. So I ask you this morning, are you weak or are you strong? Scripture said at the beginning, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. Strong people will seek out the support of others. Strong people will discipline their indulgences. Strong people will restrain their actions. Strong people will recognize God's power at work in their life. And strong people will follow God faithfully. And that's what God calls us to. Tragic situation. But yet God in his grace was going to continue to minister and use Samson's life. And even in the midst of this, the story's not over. 3 weeks from now, when I come back from vacation, I'm going to give you the end. Because in God's grace, he doesn't leave Samson there in that pit. There's always the place of the hope of redemption of God's grace and what he does for us. And we'll see that as this story comes to a close the next time we're together. But today we learn the importance of strength in him and relying on our Lord and not on ourselves. We have a lot we can learn from Samson and from his life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples of men and women of faith in Scripture. And at this point in Samson's life, he had so much going for him, but he wasted it and blew it because he didn't follow you faithfully. He didn't take his commitment seriously. He trusted in his own power and strength. He didn't seek others to help him and support him and come alongside him. He didn't indulge He didn't discipline his indulgences, but gave in to himself. And he didn't, Lord, restrain his anger and his actions. And he got ticked off and just retaliated and acted quickly. And he wasted so much of what you gave him. But yet in your grace, you did not leave him there. And Lord, that's the hope for all of us, that we can learn from his example. And when we mess up, Lord, you have grace to restore. But Lord, may we learn from his lessons that we don't make those same mistakes, that we don't trust in ourselves, and we have that we would be strong in you and in your mighty strength and in your spirit. So thank you, Lord, that you put these stories in your word so that we can learn from them, and that you use them and use us. And the good news of this story is that Samson was restored, and he became a member of the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. You honored him. And Lord, we'll see what happened in his life as you continue to work, and it gives us hope as well. So Lord, may help us to apply and to hear the word of your teaching and from your word this morning, and apply it and live it out in our life this week as we follow you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.